It's my pleasure to introduce Megan Shepherd Bannigan. And Ms. Shepherd Bannigan is a student at the University of Washington Health Sciences, Health Services School at the University of Washington in Seattle. And her paper is entitled Paid Leave Benefits of Working Mothers with Children.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here and for supporting the students. I'm pleased to share with you some of our research about paid leave benefits of working mothers with children in the United States. So as a disclosure, I have no relationships to disclose. The purpose of our research was to describe paid leave benefits afforded to working women with children under 18 months in the United States. And these benefits included maternity leave and paid sick and vacation leave. We were also interested in examining how key socioeconomic status and demographic factors were related to these benefits. And the overall goal is to provide additional evidence to inform the workplace policy agenda in the United States and to advocate for enhanced family leave policies. I'm going to begin by giving you some background first about maternity leave, and we'll follow by providing background about paid leave. So as we know, there's a high rate of labor force participation among women with children in the United States. 70% of women with children under 18 work. And so maternity leave is a really important benefit and workplace attribute for a large proportion of these women. Furthermore, maternity leave is associated with considerable health benefits for moms and babies, including longer duration of breastfeeding, improved maternal mental health, vitality, and role functioning. And also it improves the rate of immunization and well child visits. In the United States, maternity leave is provided under the Family Medical Leave Act. However, FMLA provides minimal protection. It only guarantees 12 weeks of unpaid job-protected leave for eligible women. And only about 50% of women in the United States are eligible. Because to be eligible, you have to work for either a medium or to a large size firm. You have to have worked for over 1,700 hours in the past 12 months at that company and in the 12 months prior to leave. As a result, studies show that economically advantaged families tend to take advantage of maternity leave because there's quite a substantial economic burden on low-income families who may not be able to afford unpaid leave. The United States also ranks extremely low in maternity leave protection for women compared with other comparably developed nations in the world. You can see that aside from Australia, we're the only country, this is data from 2008, the United States is the only country, besides Australia, not to provide paid leave. Furthermore, the amount of leave that's guaranteed, job-protected leave that's guaranteed, is almost the lowest. Switzerland has less job-protected leave, but overall it has more because it provides guaranteed paid leave. Out of 190 UN nations, only 12 do not provide paid leave to women. And after they've had a baby, and the U.S. is the only developed nation not to do so among those 12. So paid sick and vacation leave benefits in the United States are also associated with specific outcomes, particularly improved access to health care for children. However, this is not a federally mandated benefit in the United States. In fact, the U.S. is one of the only developed countries not to provide paid sick leave to workers needing to miss more than 5 days. There's also limited research about the distribution of paid leave in the United States. Some research that I'm working on that has not been published using the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey does show that about 30% of women with children under 18 receive no form of paid annual leave. So to look at these questions of paid or maternity leave and other paid leave, we use data from the Listening to Mothers sample. The Listening to Mothers survey is a telephone and online survey documenting the experiences of women from pregnancy to 18 months post-childbirth. The sample includes English-speaking women aged 18 to 45 that gave birth to a singleton baby in a U.S. hospital in 2005. They had two rounds of data collection. In the first wave, the sample was about 1,600 women. They surveyed a portion of these women 6 months later, and so the second wave has about 900 women. We drew data about maternity leave from wave one, and the variables about paid leave came from wave two. Our sample includes only employed women who were in this sample, and we excluded self-employed women. So for the wave one data, the maternity leave data, we had about 880 women, and for the wave two data, we had about 400 women. We used survey-weighted multivariable linear and logistic regression to look at the adjusted associations. So the variables, the outcome variables are maternity leave, and these included length of maternity leave in weeks, and whether a woman received paid maternity leave or not. This was a binary variable. We also looked at the survey collected information about number of weeks of paid leave and percent of salary replacement. The other outcome variables were paid leave, including paid sick leave and paid personal leave. The predictor variables also served as control variables, and these included maternal age, insurance status, education level, partnership status, full part-time status, family income, race, ethnicity, and region. These variables were included in all the adjusted models. We also included an indicator about maternal and baby health status in the maternity leave equations in the models. So I'll first present results from the maternity leave variables, and we'll follow by presenting results from the paid leave. So on average, women took 10 weeks of maternity leave. So that, you know, that sounds pretty good, except that when you see that's about all they took. 83% of women took 12 weeks or less of maternity leave, and that includes paid and unpaid. Further, about 60% of women received no pay during maternity leave. Of those who did receive pay, the average duration of paid leave was 3.3 weeks at a 31% mean wage replacement, which indicates that women are receiving a fraction of their salary, even if they do receive paid maternity leave. So this table shows the results from the adjusted analyses. If you see the column on the right, that I've just included information about the predictors that were significantly associated with maternity leave. So just the variables that were not associated included maternal education, region, marital status, and maternal age. But we can see from the second column that women who were in the highest age category received almost 2.5 weeks more, or not received, they took 2.5 weeks more of paid and unpaid maternity leave compared with women in the youngest age category. And women who had an annual family income of over $75,000 also took about 2.5 weeks more of maternity leave compared with women in the lowest income category. Again, if you remember, receipt of paid maternity leave was a binary variable, so we're estimating odds ratios. The women who had public insurance were less likely. They were 62% less likely, 62% decreased odds of having received maternity leave. And also you can see there's a dose response effect here with annual income. Women in the highest income category had a 160-fold increase in the chance of receiving paid maternity leave compared with those in the lowest income category. And those in the middle income category also were more likely to receive paid leave compared with those in the lowest income category. We also see here that black non-Hispanic women were more likely to receive paid leave compared with the reference category, which was white non-Hispanic. So on average, so now we're going to be discussing annual paid leave. This includes sick and vacation pay. On average, women received a total of 22 days of annual paid leave, which looks pretty good. But if we break it down a little further, you know, the story isn't quite as good. About 30% of women received no days of maternity leave, which is consistent with some of the results I've seen using the MEPS data. However, 40% do receive 1 to 3 weeks of annual paid leave. If we break that down further, we see that 45% of women received no paid sick leave, and 30% received no paid vacation leave. And so this indicates that there may be some lack of overlap in terms of the types of leave women are receiving. Some may receive paid sick and no paid vacation, and vice versa. This again shows the results from the adjusted models. And so again, I've only included the predictors that were statistically associated with total paid leave. And you can see that the variables that were not associated include maternal education, insurance status, marital status, region, and maternal age. Women who, and then total paid leave is measured in days. So women in the highest income category, had almost 10 more days per year of paid leave compared with women in the lowest income category. And Hispanic women were significantly, or had much higher days on average of total paid leave compared with white non-Hispanics. And of course, this is controlling for all of the predictor variables that I mentioned. So some of the caveats in terms of the interpretation of these results include these results may actually overestimate the generosity of maternity leave benefits in the United States. Information about maternity leave was collected from women who'd returned to work. So it's very likely that women who were working while pregnant and did not have, you know, very good leave benefits, and this may have been a factor in their choosing not to return to work. So we may actually be capturing a subset of women who have more generous leave benefits. We were also, you know, with any secondary analysis, there's always variables that you wish you had that you didn't. So some industry and occupation-specific characteristics, we couldn't control for those, and so there may be some residual confounding. Finally, the findings are not generalizable to the U.S. population of women with children under 18 months. As I had mentioned, there were some exclusion criteria. The mothers had to be between 18 and 45 years of age and had to be English-speaking. So we may have missed some vulnerable subpopulations, including very young mothers, and then also non-English-speaking, perhaps people, recent immigrants, and subgroups who may have had less generous benefits. Furthermore, I'd like to talk a little bit about the interesting findings about race. When we compared, so the sample overall looked fairly similar to this population. However, when we broke down some of the socioeconomic demographic factors by race, minority women in our sample actually had a higher annual income and higher levels of education than their counterparts in the general population. And so we're wondering if this might have, been the cause of some of the interesting associations that we saw with race. So in conclusion, compared with women in similarly developed nations, U.S. women have fewer maternity-related benefits and take less leave. Women from lower-income families generally receive fewer leave benefits, which is concerning given they may not have the financial means to offset unpaid leave and may not take sufficient time after the birth of their children. This is cause for concern given that paid leave and maternity leave are associated with health benefits for women and children. Plus, there are some fairly easy solutions. There are some fairly easy policy solutions that could be implemented to help address some of these health disparities and to improve the health overall of women and babies. So in conclusion, I'd like to acknowledge Janice Bell, who is a co-author on this paper and is also my dissertation chair. I'd like to thank Childbirth Connection for commissioning this study. They also worked with us on lots of questions. This is a phenomenal data set. It's fairly easy to work with, and they're very, very responsive. Harris Interactive conducted the research, and then the financial support, these are the grants that have funded my doctoral research. So I'd like to acknowledge those sources as well. And I'm happy to answer any questions now, after, and feel free to email me. This is a topic I'm very passionate about, and I'm happy to engage. So thank you.
Thanks very much. That was very interesting, Ms. Shepherd-Bannigan. Appreciate it. And thanks for keeping within the time schedule. And who'd like to ask some questions, please? Tony?
Job category, because I'm wondering if the
Yeah, and that's a you know, really good question. Unfortunately, there was no information about occupation or industry, and so we weren't really able to look at what jobs were and what sort of accounted for, you know, how much a proportion of women themselves were contributing to family income. So they actually would not have been included in this study because the maternity leave variables were only asked of women who had returned to work. Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned in passing that a lot of the paid leave was for a fraction of their regular income. Did you look at all to see how many of those who received paid leave were receiving their full salary?
You know, I could do that. I actually didn't, but that would be a really interesting. I remember. From the analysis, I don't think it was that many people, but that would have been an interesting statistic to report. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.